Hello, I am Veronica Scaresbrick, and I'm about to bring you an interview with the Under-Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Promoting New Evangelization, Monsignor Graham Bell. He speaks to me about the Year of Faith shortly after the project was launched in the Vatican's press office on Thursday, 21st of June. Also presented on this occasion were the website www.annusfidei.va, the logo and the official hymn, which goes by the title of Credo Domine Adoage Nobis Fidem, relating to this special year. A year called for by Benedict XVI, in an effort to mark in a special way both the 50th anniversary of the opening session of the Second Vatican Council on the 11th of October 1962, as well as the 20th anniversary of the presentation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Before we listen to Monsignor Bell, I thought I'd give you some background about this Year of Faith. It was first announced by the Pope on the 17th of October 2011, when he issued the apostolic letter Porta Fidei, or Door of Faith, in which he writes,
"Faith grows when it's lived as an experience of love received, and when it's communicated as an experience of grace and joy."
Going on to explain how the main focus of this year will be on the figure of Jesus Christ. The Holy Father has expressed the hope the occasion might provide
renewed energy to the mission of the whole Church to lead men and women out of the desert they often are in and toward the place of life friendship with Christ, who gives us fullness of life.
What I'd like to do now is bring you another excerpt from Porta Fidei. It's read for us, as were the first two quotes, by Sean Patrick Lovett.
It seemed to me that timing the launch of the Year of Faith to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Council would provide a good opportunity to help people understand that the texts bequeathed by the Council Fathers, in the words of Blessed John Paul II, have lost nothing of their value or brilliance. They need to be read correctly, to be widely known and taken to heart as important and normative texts of the Magisterium within the Church's tradition. I feel more than ever in duty bound to point to the Council as the great grace bestowed on the Church in the 20th century. There we find a sure compass by which to take our bearings in the century now beginning. I would also like to emphasize strongly that I had occasion to say concerning the Council a few months after my election as successor of Peter, if we interpret and implement it, guided by a right hermeneutic, it can be and become increasingly powerful for the ever-necessary renewal of the Church.
Having listened to the Pope's words there, it's time to join Monsignor Graham Bell, who was kind enough to come to our studios here at Vatican Radio. I began by asking him a question relating precisely to the continuation with Vatican II.
The opening coincides with the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Council in 1962, and also it coincides with the 20th anniversary of the promulgation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church is really one of the most important fruits of the Second Vatican Council. Anyone who takes up a copy of the Catechism cannot fail to be struck by the fact that the Catechism continually quotes the 16 documents of the Council. If we could put it this way, the Catechism is in many ways the Council explained to the Church. In the light of the experience which the Church has made in the 50 years since the opening of the Council.
So it's a statement that the texts have not lost anything of their value and brilliance, as John Paul II said.
As we go further ahead into history, the importance of the Council and the intention of Popes John XXIII, Paul VI, their intentions in promulgating the documents become clearer.
This Year of Faith, would you say it's a call for a spiritual awakening, which is timed at a moment in history when there's a crisis of faith?
I don't think anyone can deny that, especially in the West, there is a crisis of faith. And the Holy Father has called this Year of Faith so that everyone in the Church can renew their personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because faith is born of that. Faith is our response, our graced response to God's revelation in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the fullness of God's revelation. and all of us during the Year of Faith are called to renew our personal relationship with him. Christianity is a very special religion. It's the only religion in which God became man. It's not a religion of the book. It's a religion of the person. It's a religion of the person of Jesus Christ, and we are all, as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And there's a question which every Christian has to ask himself or herself every now and again, and it's the following. Not just what do I believe, why do I believe? Why do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God made man, and what does that mean for my life?
At what level is this year of faith pitched then? Is it personal or communitarian?
I think it's both, of course, because the faith is personal and communitarian. The faith is a personal act. All of us believe as individuals. But faith also has a community dimension, because we can only believe in the church, because we receive the faith from the church, which is the mediation of God's revelation in history, and we are called to profess our faith in the church.
This year of faith begins during the special synod,
yes,
which focuses on new evangelization.
Yes.
And your counsel is to promote new evangelization.
Yes.
Where's the link between new evangelization and the year of faith?
When we speak about new evangelization, we have to clarify what we mean by the adjective new. Obviously, it's not new to the extent that it adds anything to the gospel, because we received the gospel from Jesus Christ through the apostles, and it will be the same gospel until the end of time. The gospel doesn't change. What does change is the circumstances in which the church announces the gospel. And in the world of today, we have to be very, very careful about a number of factors which intervene in our preaching of the gospel. We have to be very careful about the cultural context in which modern men and women live. We have to be very, very aware of the new technologies which are available in announcing the gospel. We also have to be very, very aware of those situations in which it can be very, very difficult to believe. We live in a society that is under the domination of science and technology. Those two things can often make it seem very, very difficult to believe. And so the church is called today to affront new situations, to face up to new situations, and to give new answers to the perennial question which every man and woman has as they seek after the sense of their own personal existence.
So it won't be an occasion to draw from the expression of popular piety then?
I think popular piety is very, very important, because popular piety, apart from the fact it has a very, very long and illustrious tradition in the history of the church, but I think it's a richness for the church, because there are an infinite variety of paths to God and to Jesus Christ. And the variety in the church of personal piety is an expression of this. And I think it's very, very important that we allow people to reach Christ at their level. You know, in this, personal piety can be very, very important, because, as I said, there are an infinite variety of ways to God. And personal piety puts at the centre the personal relationship between the believer and Jesus Christ. So, of course, it's something which has to be purified. It's something which has to be explained and has to become the basis for a catechesis.
On a more practical level, the year launched already has a calendar of events.
Yes.
Can you share with us some of the highlights?
I'll tell you what for me is one of the most interesting of the events. And it will take place on the Sunday of Corpus Christi in 2013. And the date is precisely the 2nd of June. The Holy Father will preside over an hour of Eucharistic adoration in the Vatican. And what we are asking for is at exactly the same time, throughout all the world, that in the cathedrals and in parish churches, if that's possible, that the bishops, together with their priests and people, can at the same time carry out an hour of Eucharistic adoration in communion with the Holy Father.
And while my thanks there go to the Undersecretary of the Pontifical Council for promoting new evangelization, Monsignor Graham Bell, I'd now like to read once again from Porta Fide, because, as I discovered, the last such event was launched by Paul VI almost half a century ago. But why don't I bring you a reading from Pope Benedict's Porta Fide once again.
Paul VI announced one in 1967 to commemorate the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul on the 19th centenary of their supreme act of witness. He thought of it as a solemn moment for the whole church to make an authentic and sincere profession of the same faith. Moreover, he wanted this to be confirmed in a way that was individual and collective, free and conscious, inward and outward, humble and frank. He thought that in this way, the whole church could reappropriate exact knowledge of the faith, so as to reinvigorate it, purify it, confirm it, and confess it. The great upheavals of that year made even more evident the need for a celebration of this kind. It concluded with the Credo of the People of God, intended to show how much the essential content that for centuries has formed the heritage of all believers needs to be confirmed, understood, and explored ever anew, so as to bear constant witness in historical circumstances very different from those of the past.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this program I put together for you, focusing on the Year of Faith. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio.